Testing for me, yes. Right, Andrew, say something.
Hello, I am a fool.
Couldn't agree more. Will, say something.
Hello, I'm a retard.
Malk, say something.
It's all good in the long run.
Oh, we trust you.
And things like
Okay, hold on a second.
that.
Hello, everybody. It's me, Tony. I'm not going to use my username anymore. And this is the final episode of the Retro Resistance podcast. Joining me is the faithful team of.
Will.
Next. Oh, God, you guys are hopeless.
You guys are so hopeless, aren't you?
I'm out for Malk.
I'm Malk.
And finally.
Andrew.
This is our final one, isn't it?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. So after today, the resistance is no more. But we're not entirely going away.
No.
Because we are going to be back, but we will be rebranded as the RMI Fusion. So where we will be going solo as which was put on Andy on the site on the Retro Asylum. Yep. So we'll be having our own site, a whole new podcast.
Yep.
We're going to be covering just anything from retro, modern to indie, and we opted for the word fusion because every now and then we'll do maybe the odd TV program or maybe the odd film as well. So we're going to put a nice coverage of everything on that one.
And it's all good in the long run.
Shut up, you. Like shut up now. Those words are banned in the new one. So yeah, we decided to make a move away from the asylum, and we want to put big thank you to Andy, Swainy and Glenn for hosting us there
and putting up with us.
Yeah, and putting up with us. We ain't cleaned in the basement. We're going to leave that for you.
Yeah.
And I'm going to intentionally block the toilet before I leave.
Yeah.
We'll just stick loads of graffiti up on the walls, eh?
Yeah. And we'll have fun disposing of Will's lemons.
Yep. Fun.
but no, big thank you to the Retro Sign for hosting the podcast.
And if it wasn't for Andy and that to begin with, we wouldn't be doing the podcast in the first place.
Exactly, that's true.
Much respect to them.
Yeah, I was just about to say the face. So, big thanks. Thank you very much. A little bit more. We said, yeah, we're going to be a new site dedicated to reviewing. We're going to go into some modern day gaming, some indie gaming as well, on a whole. So, because it's something we wanted to do, it's something we want to expand into.
Yep.
Yeah,
that one. And we're also going to make ourselves known to autistic charities as well. We could get to show that there are people out there who do have autistic conditions and that they can actually do great things. Like I say, Will, Andrew, you're living indefinite proof as well.
Yep.
Yep. And also we'll go saying to Jenny as well, who is currently beavering away at setting us up a site. So
yeah, she's in a little closet. Working away with the servers.
Yeah, it's inside her wardrobe, surrounded by everything else.
Yep.
So, we're hoping to be back up and running by February the 28th, Malk's birthday.
Yeah. 37, then.
Yep. Oh, God, yeah. Old guy.
I'm not that old. Swain is older than me. And yeah. Bamway's in his 40s.
Yeah, that's true. You're still the oldest one on this team, so.
Yeah, the oldest.
But we're just going to carry on loving what we're doing. So
until the day we die.
Till the day we die. I don't know. We'll probably all be married, and well, I've already got a kid, so I don't know about you guys. one of you, Malk's going to get a knock on the door in about 5 years' time. Hi, I'm your kid that you didn't know you had.
Almost had that happen, but I won't go into that.
You know what? I'd like to see your face. But I want to be there.
You could dodge the bullet there.
Yeah, I would just want to see your face hit the floor if that happened.
I don't know. I don't think it above me that much, really.
I think
better if you're married than that, which you know.
It's true, but I think possibly someone like you, Mac. I think you kind of be more happy that you've got someone you've got to get to know.
Yeah, yeah.
And then possibly bug the hell out of your whoever gave birth to her and say, "Why didn't you tell me?" Sounds stressful, doesn't it? Okay, right. So to conclude our series off, we'll go for a big question and answers. So for the past few weeks, I've been bugging people and leaving messages around if they would kindly donate to us questions of which we could answer, be gaming or anything else that goes not alongside gaming. So, guys, do you want to know what the community has set for us?
Yeah.
Yeah, go on. Right, let's throw it at us.
Throw it at you. Okay, yeah. let's get this on a roll. Right, so who should we start with? We'll start with the Asylum on this one. Who did this one? And no, I'm not going to do Andy's first because he's quite funny. Okay, Jack O' Lantern was first one up for us. Are there any games that you know you should hate but you can't help play it when you see it?
I can think of one actually, and people will probably laugh. And it is absolutely horrendous, but it's one I did buy for the Game Boy, and I've actually slated it on the arcade and the other versions of it, but Double Dragon 3. Oh. It's unplayable on the Game Boy, but bizarrely, I do really like that because of the music.
haven't you guys found that you could actually hate the game, but you'll play it because you just want, like Mal says, you just don't want to listen to it for the music?
And Human Killing Machine, I know I'm going to put a video up, but... because the Spectrum and Amstrad one don't have music, but I really like the music on the Amiga or the Commodore 64 one, and the game is completely rubbish, but the music is really good on it. I think I showed you that the video on YouTube, didn't I, that someone else put up?
Yeah, that's very true. If it's something down to me, as much as the game sucks, the Commodore 64 version of Quick Snacks being inferior to the Spectrum version, I will reiterate that point. I do find it is a playable game.
Yeah.
On that one, it's a nice playable. It can get frustrating, but it is a playable game. I'm still not going to defect from the Spectrum version being the best, but it is a playable game on that one. So we've got Double Dragon 3. Oh, at least it's not the Nintendo version. Oh, that version is horrendous.
That wouldn't be too bad if it weren't so hard. You don't get no continues or no lives.
No, you don't. If you get another life, no continues. Simple as that.
Yeah, if you get another character, that's sort of like another life, isn't it? Basically, when that other characters are rubbish. Like the little Chinese guy, he's rubbish. He's got no range on his hits or anything. And then you're back to Billy Lee.
Yeah.
Or Bimmy League, is it called?
The really bad translation.
Jimmy and Bimmy League.
Oh, dearie me, that was just horrendous. How did that happen, seriously?
And the thing is, Double Dragon 2 is so good on the NES as well. By the same company, Acclaim. I think, I'm not sure whether
it's
done by... they did, I think. I'm pretty sure they did, yeah.
Okay,
so people was expecting 3 to be really good, and because of that, having no lives and no continues, it ruins it totally, and it's too hard.
Okay, Andrew, Will, any games that really suck but you just can't help playing them?
One I can't stop playing is Castlevania: The Adventure for the Game Boy.
Oh, that one was horrible.
It's so horrible that I don't know why I just keep playing it.
Have you actually sat down and finished it?
Yeah, I have actually finished it. It's short. It's only about 4 stages.
Oh, 4? Is that it?
Yeah, 4 stages, and that's about it.
Oh, I am pretty sure that the Game Boy could have done better than that, really.
It could have done better, but the one thing that I really hate about it is, like, when you get hit, you lose your weight power. That really just...
That's annoying. Okay, Andrew, any for you?
Oh, a bit of a tricky one, this one. I think there's probably one game I've actually played on Amiga, which everybody in the Amiga committee seems to absolutely slate. And it's one that I've absolutely loved playing. It's a game on the Amiga called Fears.
Never heard that one.
It was a Doom clone released in 1995. And it was basically one of the many attempts to bring Doom to the Amiga. And a lot of people slated it, but I still loved playing it. The reason why a lot of people slated it is because it didn't take advantage of power of like more advanced Amigas. You know, it still looks really blocky and horrible and whatnot, and the level design was really bad, and the monsters in it are like these really, really unconvincing, totally unscary two monsters with about 2 fame walks sort of thing. And it was just, you know, like not much effort had been put into it whatsoever, but I still found it a really playable game. I think a lot of people said the only saving grace was the editor that came with it.
It's the one that makes Wolfenstein look like a complete masterpiece.
So a lot of people slated it. So I mean, if you haven't seen it, yeah, you should give it a look on YouTube or something.
we might have to look one out in avid fear on that one. Okay, right, moving on. Another one from the assignment, Slots 31. He came up with the question of, if money was no object, what retro game would you commission to get made into either PC, PS3, or the Xbox 360? Well, I know what I would do. Everyone's played Kingdom Hearts, haven't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, what I would do, I'd actually do an amalgamation. I'd do one with all the Codemasters characters that they've ever created. That would be awesome. Traveling around, go to the world of Dizzy, the world of CJ, the world of Seymour, and all that lot, loads of other stuff. And so I was like, yeah, we'll have something like that. So that would kind of be a very, very nice old school style thing brought up to date.
Mm.
And I don't think Dizzy would be too hard to model in 3D nowadays, would he? He's an egg.
If someone turned around to me and said, "Oh, but Dizzy's hard to model into 3D," he's an egg with feet and hands. Think of Mr. Potato Head.
Exactly. Yeah. And anyone who didn't get annoyed with him in Toy Story, then you know what it's all about. Okay, you guys, what about you? Any old retro game you'd like to see beefed up into an all new shiny game?
That's an easy one for me. So.
Yes. Yeah. Malk wants a nice 3D version of Midnight Resistance.
Yeah. or do, like, you know, the Splatterhouse remake? Mm. That, do that again, but just all 2D, not with the 3D bits.
Yeah, Splatterhouse HD, because you can really see the stains on the wall when you hit them against
it. Which wouldn't be that hard for them to do. Same as Midnight Resistance. It wouldn't be that hard if they had to do it in 3D, do it that sort of way. Mm. But obviously, I'd just rather have the arcade one.
It
just redone, you know, HD the bit, and so it's online, basically, so you can play it online, and that'd be perfect.
It'd be perfect for Malk. Malk likes his simplicity. I know. Andrew, Will?
The one I would like to redo is Castlevania 64.
I want
to
get rid of that annoying Nitro section.
Yeah, I'm probably I'll do it. I'll put in the Nitro section a little more easier, but I'll put a mod in it so the fanboys won't complain about the easy mod. Probably I'll fix that horrendous camera and also fix like the jumping and all like that, and put more characters in and try to make it more like it originally meant to be, like a Metroid type game, like Metroidvania, but in 3D.
Ah, nice. So that I reckon that will work a lot better. Mm. Definitely, if they just get rid of that Nitro section.
Yeah.
Is like even if it's sitting there, even if you can jump a little, you should be able to jump with something like that. But if it's something like taking a hit, then yeah, I can understand that one, because then you could run around dodging.
Yeah.
And but that would just be that would be making the game just a hell of a lot more easy and a lot less confusing, which is what a lot of people have wanted. Andrew.
Oh, well, I was going to say someone should remake Rise of the Robots.
No. No, should make that remake.
The one I'm going to go for is. I'd love to see if I was able to have extra money and stuff to make a remake. I'd absolutely love to do a remake of Stunt Car Racer using the Codemasters current racing engine that they use for like the grid games and the dirt games.
That'd be really interesting.
Yeah, that'd be really good. They could have online multiplayer and stuff as well. Because Stunt Car Racer was a wicked racing game. Loved it on the Amiga.
Have you guys felt that there are some of these old games which you're playing nowadays, you're thinking, this would be awesome online?
Yes.
Yeah, loads of them.
Loads of them. So, are you listening out there, developers?
Like Vendetta.
Yeah.
And loads of Konami's back catalogue, we said it loads of times, I think, before, but they really missed the opportunity of not having them, well, not converting them in the first place to the Super NES, Mega Drive or whatever, and not putting them online on the 360 and that and the Wii and... Yeah, pretty much everything, the PC as well. Because they could make money with that, like they've done with Turtles and The Simpsons. There's loads of them they could do.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
And I'm sure they wouldn't have to get the rights for Vendetta and that, because it's something they've made up themselves.
Yeah, they probably still hold the rights.
They'd maybe struggle with Aliens.
Hmm.
Yeah, that would be the only one. But I don't think James Cameron would be would say no to a bit more exposure.
More money.
Yeah, definitely. Like, I think Sega currently have the license to it, if I remember rightly.
Colony Marines or something.
Yeah,
they've got.
Still hasn't come out.
Next year, they say.
It's been developed for quite a long time, hasn't it?
Longer than what Splatterhouse did, the remake of that. It was. Yeah. It seems literally when my PS3 still worked, that was apparently coming out.
Okay, right. We'll go to Glenn. Now we're going to do one of his questions is actually quite good. We're now going to spin it the other way. Is there a modern game you'd like to see in a 16 or 8-bit format?
For me, it's God of War.
in which 16 or 8-bit?
Probably 16-bit would be more likely. It could be a bit more like Streets of Rage.
Yeah, I could see that working. Yeah. I really, really could. Yeah, have any of you guys seen the Left 4 Dead 8-bit version?
Yeah, I have. I haven't.
No. look it up. It's good fun. They've done it in as if it was be on the NES. And it's actually quite fun to play on that one. But God of War on your Super Nintendo. Well, Sony did develop for Nintendo at one point.
Yeah.
So.
Probably more like for the Mega Drive, though, because no doubt Nintendo would have censored it.
Very, very true. Right. Anyone else? A game that's been released net today you'd like to see on the 16 or 8-bit format?
Well, it's not been released today as such, but like, you know how the Sega old-fashioned sprite scaling technology used to work with Outrun and that? Daytona running on that sort of end, how that runs.
Oh, that would be awesome. Nice.
Yeah.
Like, as if it's a Mega Drive game instead of a 32-bit Model 2, I think, is it, on the arcade?
Model 2, yeah. Model 2. Oh, that would be awesome.
Or Sega Touring Cars as well, because that's terrible.
Yeah, 8-bit Daytona on your Master System. Oh, yes. Oh, nice. I like that.
They were going to convert it to the 32X, apparently.
Apparently,
considering how bad the Saturn version was, I don't think it would have turned out very good on the 32X, neither.
Yeah, that'd be very, very surprising if that actually turned out any good. So, Will, any games you like today that you'd love to see a 8 or 16-bit version?
I would say Dark Souls.
What? 8-bit or 16-bit?
16-bit.
16-bit. How could you imagine that?
Like I don't know how I would have seen that. Probably just like I don't really know, really.
I could kind of imagine a scrolling beat 'em up, but your energy bar is like one shiver, like one punch, and you're dead.
Yeah.
And that one. Anything for me? What would I like to see? I'm trying to scan over my games collection at the moment. Yeah. Let's have an 8-bit Dungeon Defenders.
That'd be cool.
And you can put on the Nintendo and you can play it with a multi-tap, so you can have all four people play. That would be awesome.
Nice.
so sit there. It'll be single screen action. I don't think the Super Nintendo could do split screen, could it? Oh, sorry, the original Nintendo. Was there any split screen games? Does anyone know?
No.
Was it? They may have been one of the racing games. I'm not sure, but I know there wasn't many. If there was. Yeah. On the Master System, wasn't Road Rash split screen on that?
It might be. I'm not too sure. Investigatory period. So
the Master System version of Road Rash is really impressive, considering it's a Master System. It's not that much different to the Mega Drive, really.
Yeah,
I've played it. It looks pretty much almost like the Mega Drive port.
Yeah.
It's strange how things get so similar on two machines. It makes it realise, did you really try that hard on Mega Drive? Seriously.
They should redo Road Rush anyway if they're going to do the game. Because EA's got the rights to do it, and instead of churning out all the crap they do all every single year, do Road Rush. People want it.
Yeah,
get back to basics. People do want that. Get back to the basics. It's the same syndrome as who does Fable, Peter Molyneux.
Yeah,
is it there? The guy has got such a massive, massive boner for Fable. He just can't get off it. And as I said, do you remember when you created some other great games, i.e., Dungeon Keeper? If anything, I'd love to see a new version of Dungeon Keeper. Not dungeons like the sort of remake. Dungeon Keeper itself, yes, give me that and I will be happy. Okay, all right. I want to see if we all answer this next question the same way. Is there any computer or games console that you never owned but you wish you did? Now I'm going to kick off first. I'm going to say the Neo Geo system.
Same, Will.
Same here as well.
There you go. Maybe the Vectrex. But definitely the Neo Geo, I'd say that most out of anything.
Yeah.
Well, it goes simple. If we want a vetrix, we just go burgle Swainy's house.
Yeah.
And then possibly help ourselves to whatever else he has in his collection. He's probably got a few Mega Drive games. Well,
like I said on that video, well, the podcast I did ages ago with Benway, in about 1997, 1998, when I was up and eating with my mate Rich, who's called Stifler on YouTube and that, they were selling a Neo Geo. I think it was about 35 or 45 quid. I don't know whether it had a game. Yeah, but it was in good condition, and it had the big joystick and everything, in cash converters in the Neaton. And my mate Rich says, oh, I won't bother buying that. You've got a PlayStation. It's better anyway. So I didn't buy it. And yeah, I've always regretted that since.
Yeah, I know, because that was going at a ridiculously cheap price.
Yeah.
Okay, Glenn's final question. Oh, it's Can of Worms times, guys. Which is better, Super Nintendo or Mega Drive?
Mega Drive.
Mega Drive.
And I've had both.
Yep, I had both
as
well. I
sold the Mega Drive to get the Super NES. But I do think there is some games definitely on the Super NES that are much better than the Mega Drive version.
It's true. But I find the Mega Drive games library that little bit better. I love Mario games. I love a lot of Nintendo titles. But I just found Sega's collection better. Okay, Will, your choice?
Super Nintendo.
Aha, so that's okay. So we're not all on the same page. Why the Super NES, mate?
Because it was the first Nintendo console I ever played, and it got me into gaming.
Okie dokies, right. I will say that's more than fair enough on that one. So, right, Andrew.
Oh, I absolutely love both, but my vote is going to have to go to the Mega Drive. Mm-hmm. It was the first console I ever played on, and it also introduced me to import gaming as well. Because my cousins had a Japanese Mega Drive, and that was the first console I ever played on.
Oh, nice.
Sonic the Hedgehog and things.
Oh,
and I was more of a Sonic fan than Mario.
Yeah,
but I was both anyway. Cause I always wanted a Sega as well.
You've got Magical cool as well. I was recently up at Great Yarmouth, and my brother set up his Super Nintendo, and I was playing Mario Kart, and I actually managed to kind of finish Donkey Kong Country as well, which is an amazing game.
Oh, so yes, definitely.
They've got their fair share of great games on the systems. They're both great consoles, but for me, I'm gonna have to give my vote to the Mega Drive.
Yep, me too. Because I have my Mega Drive, my Master System, and my Mega CD now.
Oh, and that's one thing as well, the Mega CD.
Right, Will?
What?
You want to say something?
I wish I actually owned a Sega, because a friend of used to live across the road from me, he had a Sega Mega Drive, and when I first saw Sonic, I was really, Sonic 1 and Sonic 2, I was amazed by it.
Mm-hmm. It was.
Because when I go to my Uncle Paul's house, his daughter had a Sega Mega Drive, and I play that a lot as well.
See, this is the good thing it did. The differences between Sonic the Hedgehog and Super Mario World were immense, and that's what made you want both systems.
Mm-hmm.
That was definitely a good one.
I think Sonic's technically a better game, but there's, like I said before, Mario's got a hell of a lot more to it.
But the funny thing is, did you know that Sonic was Sonic's creator played the first world, the first level of Mario Brothers on the NES over and over again, so that's when he got the idea for Sonic.
Oh, I didn't know.
That's interesting. Thank you for that little bit of information. So it's good. Right, let's spin out to one of our two people from the YouTube community. First is just a quick, simple question. Slenkar, who is also a member of the Retro Asylum as well. I think he must have joined up after I mentioned it to him. This is actually for Malk. Why does Malk 1976 like fighting games so much? Does it help him take out his aggression?
I don't know. God, why do I like him so much? Because when I was a little kid, I used to watch a lot of kung fu films and that. I grew up with like Bruce Lee films, and I used to actually do martial arts myself. And I've always, I don't know, I just like fighting games more than any other genre, really.
Is it because you see yourself as that person kicking the hell out of everybody?
I don't know. It's just because they're more competitive. You know, because it's only usually, say if it's like a one-on-one fighting game, it's only against another person, or you know what I mean?
Mm. That's very, very true on that behalf for there. So, so you wouldn't say it's simply to get yourself rid of some rage, is it?
No.
anger management. Give me Street Fighter.
I tend to find it that fighting games do help me out with that.
I found when I was at work, Doom did the same thing for me. Yes. Put it on top skill level, just kill everything. There you go.
easiest level for me. Then that way you can easily beat everything.
Oh, God.
Everything's a pushover.
No, you got to do better than that, seriously. Okay, right, back to the asylum. Scoopy, what's the hardest game you've ever played? And don't you dare say Dark Souls, Will.
I'm not going to say Dark Souls.
I can answer this straight away.
Go on, then.
Karnov. On the arcade. There's walkthroughs on that on YouTube, but I think they're all fake because you can see where they get hit, where they've turned the sprite detection off. And it is. I wouldn't say it's impossible, but nigh on impossible to complete it on one credit or even with continuing because you just get hit once you're dead. And yeah. There's so much that goes on. In fact, I'll do a video of it. Going into that more, but it's probably the hardest game I've ever played.
Oh, fair enough.
There may be others.
Yeah, true. Anyone else?
Super Mario Brothers Lost Levels.
Yeah, I reckon that's pretty hard on that one. How many times did you die before you actually done all of them?
Quite a lot.
and then once you've done them all, you go, oh, here you go, you're now going to Star 1-1. You're like, oh, go away.
Oh, go to World 9.
Well, not, oh yeah, the old Immortal World 9 and the World Negative 1 as well.
Yeah, minus world.
Also,
there's the one thing I like about Super Mario Lost Levels. They troll you in that game. There's one warp, there's a warp pipe that goes you back to one, but you can commit suicide.
Yeah, because it's stuck on the platform. It's like, so you got a choice to either go back or kill yourself.
Yeah,
there's a hole in the floor. Oh no. I actually did notice something. Who remembers back in the days where they had those like 10-in-1 cartridge machines when they were showing them on display in the old stores?
Yeah,
Malcolm, you might.
Yeah.
When you activated Super Mario Brothers, it automatically triggered World -1.
Yeah, that's right.
I just suddenly noticed that. Some people say you could do it this way to access it, and yes, there is a way of doing it.
Yeah.
But those machines seem to trigger World. You know what? The Retro Game Base actually has one of those working.
Yeah,
really?
Because they used to have them in Boots, believe it or not. One of those set up, and you could play on it. It had Mario, Gunsmoke. I can't remember what the other games were, but just random games, you know, that you wouldn't expect to be on it.
Mm.
I think it might have had Akari Warriors as well.
Yeah, they've also got down there. They've actually got a version for Atari cartridge as well, multiple Atari cartridge base.
Oh, that's a really cool thing, I think, if you had a Nintendo and had that linked up sort of thing.
Oh, it's true, because when I went down there last, they were busy. It needed a few repairs, but they were busy beaming away. And anybody who knows the Retro Game Base, they know how to repair these things, because they do mods as well.
Yeah.
So that they were sitting there getting it all up and running. So hopefully when I go down there, it'll be all sorted.
It's got the light thing, hasn't it? And that's how you switch between the game. You press it. And the other one lights up on that, and it goes through it like that, if I remember rightly. Like a red light comes on.
Yeah. My hardest game, well, to me, is very, very strange in there, because I say Chip's Challenge, if anyone remembers that one.
I've not actually played that one.
No, I don't
think. Oh, it was a puzzle game, but so many of them, you get an instant death situation, and so much replay, doing this right, doing that right. He goes on. Right. Andrew, hardest game you ever played?
Oh, hardest game I've played. A lot of people agree with me on this one. But Contra Hard Corps, a.k.a. Probotector on
Mega
Drive. Yeah, that is hard. I couldn't even do the first level.
I struggled to get up the first level on that one.
I did. I lost all my continues, but I did it.
Yeah. You haven't got the cheat on that neither, have you? The Konami cheat?
I don't know. Oh, you have to look it up. Game facts, here we come!
I don't think you have.
Oh, that's scary. Okay, next question. If Kazuya and Ryu had a punch-up, who would win? Somebody obviously been playing Street Fighter Cross Tekken, but... Kazuya and Ryu... Well, I'd give it to Ryu, because he's kind of put... In a serious fight, Ryu could actually keep him away with...
Fireballs.
And all that. And Kazuya would... Well, actually, tell you the truth, Kazuya does have the advantage that he can turn into his devil mode as well.
Yeah.
And then he gets his laser projectile... sort of thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Anyone else want to put a prediction on the outcome of this fight?
No, I think that's about right.
Will?
Ryu is more well-known character, but I mean, if you've got a character that can transfer and change into the devil, no competition, yeah. Really, is there?
Well, let's be fair. If Kazuya Ryu had a punch up, the winner would be Heihachi.
Yeah.
Because he's just awesome in all aspects. Mm. Okay, next one from Scopey. What's the scariest game you've ever played?
Probably one I'm playing at the minute, but I'd say the only time I've actually really been scared by a game, genuinely scared by one, is when I was about 8 or 9 when I first got the Commodore 64. Late at night, I've got some games. I weren't supposed to open it before my birthday, but I did, because my dad didn't know. And I was loading up Where the Exploding Fist, and it was quiet, and just out of nowhere, there's this sound sample from Enter the Dragon Bruce Lee. I'm not going to try and emulate it, but it just comes on out of the blue, and I was shit myself because I didn't expect it. And then the next day when my mate ran my house and we were playing it, he was the same because it just comes on out of nowhere. It's quiet, and then that just comes on.
Mm. Oh, that's scary. For me, it's going to have to be I think the only two series is really, it's either going to be toss-up between Silent Hill and Resident Evil.
Actually, I'd say Dead Space as well.
But that's Dead Space is quite a shock factor as well on that one. Silent Hill really, really screws with your head.
It does.
In all aspects, it really does mess with your head on that one. And I know, Will, you play Slender, haven't you?
Yeah, I played it.
Yeah. Is that as scary as what they say it is?
I've seen videos of it, but it's one of those like jump scare ones because you don't know where it's going to come out. Because have you ever played this Sega Saturn game? Oh, what's it called? Oh, when you're in this corridor and you can hear this ding, 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 ding sound.
Oh, is that Project Zero?
Yeah, it's kind of like Project Zero.
Oh no, not Project Zero. Enemy Zero.
Enemy Zero.
Similar to that because you can tell when it's coming because the camera fizzes and you have to like run away as fast as you can. It's very similar to like the Project Enemy, when the enemy gets closer to you.
Mm.
That's pretty scary, that, because I've seen a review on it, and you're just walking down this corridor, but you have to like really hear the ding ding sound, don't you?
Mm. Have any of you played Project Zero?
No.
No,
yeah. I played a demo of it some time ago.
Project Zero was on the Project Zero, not Enemies, Project Zero. It was on the PS2 first, I believe.
No, I've never played it. I've played Enemy Zero.
I think I've played the demo of it.
Yeah, Project Zero is cool because you're walking around. It's because it's based upon ghosts, and basically you use a camera as a weapon.
Mm. So that game.
Yeah, I thought that was actually quite unique for the time. And you sit there, and you sit there, you bring the camera up to see him because you can't see him without the camera. And of course, so things are happening and shaking about, and then basically you've got to take the picture right when they're on top of you to do the most damage to them. So if you're sitting there being a little snapper, like at a distance, like snap, 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 and you just use all your film is basically your ammunition on it. But if they're right on top of you when you take the picture, you whack off massive chunks of the ghost's health. So it says that smile for me before you actually kill me. Right.
Something like that wouldn't work with the modern technology nowadays, though, because if it was a digital camera, you could take loads of pictures.
No, I'll tell you what it would work on. That game would work really well on the Wii U.
The Wii U, yeah. Yeah,
yeah, that would work.
And also
really...
3DS as well.
Yeah, 3DS, that would work really well on those formats.
Because there is one on the 3DS.
Mm. So that would really work well for that one. So, yeah, I could smell HD remake time in the works for that one.
Bringing the second one out on the Wii U, I think.
I think they've already done 3 of them, haven't they?
I think you
had Project Zero. I think the second one's called Broken Butterfly or something like that. That's a strange name for a game, but anyway. Okay, right. Scoopy.
Before I answer my question, I need to make a visit to the loo.
It's called Fit.
I went to the toilet beforehand, but I need to go again, unfortunately. So.
Right, just say when you're back, and then we'll re-ask you the question. But for the meantime, for us guys, what's your favourite LucasArts adventure game?
Never played any of them.
Right, you're out of this one. You're out of this one, then. Right, Will?
What was the question again?
What's your favourite LucasArts adventure game?
LucasArts adventure game? Oh, Monkey Island.
Monkey Island, classic. For LucasArts, I've got a big thing at the moment. Mine's going to be a toss-up between either Sam and Max Hit the Road or Day of the Tentacle.
Oh.
They were both... great adventure games, and they To give you the truth and honesty, I don't think LucasArts made a bad adventure game.
No.
The only one which I felt was a little was The Dig. But apparently he had Spielberg helping him on that one. That's what they said on this one. But like I say, Maniac Mansion, of course, the Monkey Island series, Day of the Tentacle, Sam and Max Hit the Road, and Full Throttle.
That's a good one, that, because Mark Hamill's in that.
Yeah, and the storyline for Full Throttle, it was really, really good. I really did enjoy that. That definitely had a real sort of good cinematic feel to it. That felt like a movie. This one, it starts off and like the character's a big rough biker guy, but it's just been done so well, so you can relate to this guy and what's happened to him. He's been framed for murder and he's basically on his track to get his own back. Malk, what's the emulator called to? Oh, ScumVM, I think it's called.
Yes, ScumVM.
Yeah. Now, if you get hold of ScumVM, if you could get hold of games like Maniac Mansion, well, you don't need to. If you've got Dead Tentacle, it's hidden in there anyway.
Yeah. Is that the one? I think that's an old game, isn't it, mate? I've heard of it.
Yeah. If you get hold of Day of the Tentacle and then Sam Max, they all. ScumVM basically helps them work through this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's a bit like an emulator, and so if you get hold of some of these games, I really do recommend giving a go. Even if you've got like a walkthrough next year telling you how to get through the game.
Yeah,
I really do recommend playing them, because you see the likes of Day of the Tentacle. It's very funny. And I say a purple tentacle drinks like sewage waste, grows arms, and then he goes out to take over the world on this one, and you end up traveling between three timelines because the characters are stuck.
Yeah,
and
the Chronodon
is basically a time traveling toilet on that one. And Sam and Max is very sadistic in humour, and some of the ways you sit there, it's like you go to this sort of fairground, and you're on a tunnel of love, and you need to stop it.
Yeah.
So Sam is a dog, Rabbit is this sort of psychotic bunny, and they're detectives, and you use a torch to find the junction box, and then you're saying, well, how do I stop the junction box? When you realise it says that, use Max with the junction box. So I'm like, well, how's that going to happen? And so what he does is Sam picks Max up, dunks his head into the river, and then jams his head in the junction box and fuses it. Then there's the better one is there's a dinosaur sort of thing, but you need the tooth off it. Yeah. So you tie a rope around the tooth, but Sam's not strong enough to pull it. Then what you get then is you then say, right, use the rope on Max. So Sam ties the rope around Max's neck. So I'm like thinking, oh, we're going to pull it together. No, that doesn't happen. So what happens next is you say you use Max for the police car. So I'm thinking, oh, Max is going to run up there and pull it back to the police car. No, Sam picks Max up, throws him through the windscreen of the police car and then gets him to reverse it. But it's just the fact that like Max could have walked up to the police car and got it. But no, he literally throws him through the windscreen. it's really, really twisted.
But they've also made another Sam Max Adventure season 1, season 2. Oh,
I do want to get those at some point. I have seen them.
They are pretty funny.
Yeah. Do you think they've kept the tone of the original?
You have to play the pattern for yourself.
Okay, right. We'll come back. We'll ask Andrew that game. Question we get back. Moving on for a little bit. Worst game ever played.
It's gonna be a hard one.
Yeah, definitely. It is a hard one.
Me, Squid on the Spectrum, because they didn't program it correctly. To actually play the game, you actually had to buy the game, then you had to break it, input an extra bit of program code to make the freaking game work. Now, how messed up is that?
Really messed up.
Really, 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 really messed up. So, how annoying can you be? Seriously. So, any worst games on your lists? Can be up to date ones as well.
All right.
And the first one of you says Modern Warfare is getting smacked.
No, I'm not going to say Modern Warfare. I'm trying to think. I don't know.
There are FPS games out there worse than Modern Warfare, trust me.
Yeah, there are.
I'd say if it's a modern one, that King of the Fighters one on 360.
Which one? 11? Which one, 11 or 12?
The one that's got no bosses, no endings, is unplayable when it's online because it lags that much. Mm. And it's just like they're completely... I don't like King of the Fighters anyway, as people know, but that one was a complete rush, and I can't see how anyone in their right minds would think that'd be any sort of competition to a Street Fighter 4.
Tekken 6
is much better than that.
The thing is, I am a King of Fighters fan, and while 11... Yeah, it did miss a boss character, but they turned around and they said it's like one of the usual yearly amalgamations like they did in the past. King of Fighters 98 was just a simple hash match, and so was 2002. But it still had those two still had a boss with Rugal Bernstein.
Yeah.
But this one just didn't on that one. To me, that they made up for it with King of Fighters 13 because they concluded the storyline on that one, and apparently the net play wasn't all that bad.
No, but that's what kills a fighting game, if it's online and it's unplayable.
Yeah, that's true. Unless you've got a lot of friends, and I don't have that many that could come over and play it, so
better games to play if they did.
Yeah, I will quite happily sit there and play a King of Fighters game with anybody who'll play it with me. Let's put it that way. Okay.
If it's 98.
Oh, 98 is awesomeness. I will play 98 till the cows come home. Okay, Will, a game that you the worst game you've ever played?
Transformers for the Famicom. That's just so horrendous. It's like you don't even know where the bullets are going to hit you or not. It's like one hit, you're dead, and you can't even know where the fucking bullets are. And also level 4, oh my god, you have to do this stupid... It's not like in Super Mario Brothers that you just have to pick the right stuff, something. You know when you go like top one, it's the right one. You have to go to the bottom, the top, and all like that.
Mm.
But in this game, you have to do it in a specific way. It's just horrible.
Actually, I've got another bad one. Bionic Commando, the remake of that. Not Rearm. Rearm's brilliant. The one that Capcom didn't do, Grin done it, I think. And it is like the 3D one where he's got dreadlocks and that.
Because I like that one. I liked it.
Well, it's supposed to be, what's it called? Sandbox, you know, you can go wherever you want. You can't, because most of the places it comes up radiation, and then you're dead pretty much instantly. And the other thing is, he's such a badass commando, if he can't swim, and all the levels have got water underneath, so it's just a case of swinging over loads of things, and getting to the other side, and the swing never works. They always do it either short, or go straight past the next bit he's supposed to grip onto. Because I did sort of get into it, and then I noticed it was just repeating itself over and over again, and I just thought, this is terrible.
Mm.
But the graphics are good, though. Yeah, that's the only thing it's got going for it.
Okay, right. Andrew, quick fire two questions for you. What's the worst game you've ever played?
Oh, for me... Oh, it's got to be Rise of the Robots.
Yeah, I'm going to technically agree with that one. Okay.
Come on, a fighting game with about two moves.
Yeah, that is
pretty... And you can beat the computer player just simply by jump-kicking him all the time, and he just hides in the corner. Come on.
Okay, right. Your second quick fire question. What's your favourite LucasArts adventure game?
Oh, favourite LucasArts. Oh, God. For me, it's probably got to be... I'm going to have to go for Monkey Island 2.
There you go. So yeah. We have two votes. Everybody who's listening out there, LucasArts old school adventure games are awesome.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Awesome, really.
Okay, right. Right.
The scariest game, have I?
No. But no. We need to move on. We need to move on, unfortunately.
Yeah.
We can talk about it in our new podcast in February.
Yeah.
Okay, right. Okay, Andrew, see, we're skipping on that one. Choose YouTube or Gamer Dads. Just choose which one.
Oh, should we go for Gamer Dads?
Okay, well, we did have one question from them, which was from Moobit. Now, we've all listened to the Game of Dads podcast, I do believe.
Yeah.
Okay, right. And this is a question for him. Right, on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being uber cool and awesome sauce, and 10 being sexy as holy hell, where is Moobit? Looks like we're going to have to stroke the guy's ego. Yeah. But for me, the Game of Dads crew are a good bunch.
Yeah.
I do enjoy their podcast, and Moobit is an awesome host. Would you guys agree with me?
Yeah, definitely agree.
Yeah, he's an awesome. He's got a great bunch. In fact, yeah. Let's for this question. Let's plug the Gamer Dads here shamelessly as well. Yeah. Definitely. If you do like modern day gaming, they have a bit of old school gaming as well. Moobit and Company people that work with him, Joey P, Toby, Moose, and a lot of the others who work on their podcast. They do a very good podcast, and they're supported by a very good cause as well, Special Effects, which is a charity who research their gaming devices for people who are disabled or can't use can't play through normal methods of gaming, which I think is just fantastic. A great, great charity to be a part of for that one. So to you guys, salute.
I do salute, yes.
Yes, and it was the fact that Moobit did invite us to pay a visit. So I'll talk with him, and then we won't go as a resistance, but we'll just go Gatecrash's podcast one day.
Yeah.
so hopefully on that one. Okay, right. Shall we go back to the asylum, or should we for Andy's question, or shall we take the final question from somebody from YouTube?
We'll go for Andy. Go on.
Yeah. Andy then. Yeah. Right. To the whole team, which other member would you have a gay encounter with if you was the last humans on Earth? I already said the answer to that, my question. I wouldn't be thinking of that. I'll be thinking of which one of you guys I'll be eating first when the food run out. What's your excuses?
Well, there's no point, is there?
Yeah, it's true.
Because you can't carry on the human race doing that anyway, so there's no point.
It's true. And I give the truth to me, I'd rather do something else.
Yeah.
In preferably in a building away from you guys. On that one. So, Buzz killed that one, Andy. You weren't going to get anything out of us for that one. Right. What 80s... I'm gonna see if we all say the same for this one as well. What 80s movie would you like to have been in?
80s movie.
Yep. Ooh. Now, my first one, Ghostbusters.
Oh, nice. Yeah, that'd be a good one.
Is there anyone in agreement for that one?
Yeah.
Yeah, probably. Will.
Right, so... Malcolm...
Back to the Future.
Back to the Future. I knew that one was coming as well. I knew that one was... I can't really think of any sort of others that really stuck out in my mind that I'd want to be part of.
There's quite a few.
Yeah. So
just looking at my DVD collection now.
I really like
RoboCop. That's 87, ain't it?
Oh, so yeah. Good call, sir. Good call.
Or the second Lethal Weapon. What year is that? Because I like that better than the first one.
I like all the Lethal Weapon films.
Except for 4.
Now, 4 was okay. It wasn't as good as the others, but they didn't bend away from how they did the other ones.
No, 3's good as well. I just like 2 the best because 2's got some funny bits in them. That
very, especially when he shoots that fish tank out.
Yeah, it goes. Danny Glover and Leo goes that thing. Listen to your friend here. He knows what he's talking about. You don't want to go to South Africa. It's brilliant.
Oh, I know. If you haven't seen the movie, then watch it. Then you'll see the final part of that one.
Yeah,
it's brilliant. We won't comment.
No,
on
no,
that.
No.
I'll make you laugh. If there's one 80s film I'd love to star in, be Never Ending Story. Probably because that's one of Ryan Falcor.
Oh, fair enough then.
Yeah!
Labyrinth, was that 80s
or 90s?
Labyrinth? 87, I think.
87? Because everyone wants to be David Bowie with that extremely large... Oh, dearie me.
Nah, I could just ride on Falcor and then just chase you lot down the street.
Yeah, I'll be sitting there with a rocket launcher, pal. Fantasy story my rear end.
There's loads of films, aren't there, in the 80s that you could...
Yeah, well, there's loads of zombie films. Who wants to be part of a zombie apocalypse?
That'd be good, yeah. Like Dawn of the Dead, 70, I think. 70-something. Wrong.
So I sit there, but
Night of the Living Dead.
Yeah, who would seriously want to be? Who would seriously would just love to have that feel of
Day of the Dead? That's definitely an 80s one.
Yeah, who would love to have the feel of being living in the zombie apocalypse, but knowing the fact that you could die.
But if you had a whole like shopping centre and you stopped them, that'd be quite cool because then you could go just help yourself to anything.
I think I heard on the Gamer Dads podcast once that somebody somewhere they actually set up a proper zombie style experience.
Yeah.
So it was actually a proper place you could go to and you could fight it out. I think they mentioned something like that before. But if that's true, that would be.
It would. It would be fun. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So, Okay, and Andy's final one. Right, Katie Price, Bigfoot, or Whoopi Goldberg? Which one would you? Which would you? Which one would you do with who? Right, so Katie Price, would you snog, marry, or avoid?
Avoid, definitely. Avoid.
Avoid.
Avoid. Yeah.
Right. Bigfoot. Avoid.
Yeah.
Right. Whoopi Goldberg.
I've not really. Don't really like Whoopi Goldberg, and she's not my type or anything, but if it was had to be out of her or Jordan, I'd rather go with her than Jordan.
I would honestly marry Whoopi Goldberg, because she's one of the few Hollywood celebrities. She's kept herself to herself. She lives a simple life. She doesn't go about giving it the whole big I am and all sort of thing. She seems to be the sort of person who you could probably live with.
She's done some good films as well. She's funny,
Oh, she's
Jumping Jack Flash is brilliant, I think. Yeah.
Sister Act as well.
Oh,
that's a good laugh.
The second one's not as good though, is it?
No, it's not.
The first one is pretty good, I suppose.
Yeah, Sister Act's pretty good.
And she provides a voiceover for one of Tony's favourite films, and that is The Lion King.
Oh, shut up. That's a one Disney film I can't stand. I don't know why.
I can't believe you can't stand it.
I never watched it because I didn't like it myself, so I just didn't watch it.
Favourite films ever.
There's only two things I like in The Lion King. One is Timon, and the second is Pumbaa. There you go.
Legendary.
Yeah, those two.
Hyenas.
Yeah, those two. Timon and Pumbaa are epic.
Oh, yes.
On that one. Okay, right. Anyone want to care to guess who the YouTube contributor is? To the final ones? Will?
Don't know.
No, Andrew?
I'd say Benway.
No, it's not Benway.
Yeah.
It was another big name, Spinny.
I forgot he.
Yes.
Harold Gork is he called now?
Harold Gonk is now known as. Yes. Even though nowadays he's not very political in his videos anymore, which is a shame because I did like his political stuff.
Yeah.
On that one. But he has sent us. But he has sent us, so it's time to put your political faces on, because he sent us some political style questionnees, sort of, who. Ridicule as goes. His first one. Why do we allow upper class twits to control our life? Because one, if it came to the truth behind me, I can't be bothered to get off my arse and do anything about it.
Yeah. True.
And it also comes to a point for myself. I love watching them make idiots of themselves on TV. Especially in the House of, Houses of Parliament. I think Robin Williams made the greatest art. He described it British Parliament as American Congress with a 2-drink minimum. that's how he described the British public. Then he sat there, started ranting and raving, and somewhere, would someone please remove Margaret Thatcher from the room? anyone else got an answer to that question?
I kind of agree with what Robert Williams says.
Yeah, I personally do agree with that one. Yeah. It's when they're sitting there, it sounds like they've all been on the Raz, seriously. Okay. His second one. If you were George Osborne, how would you kill yourself?
Stand in front of a bus.
Would you top yourself? Yeah, because I think George Osborne is probably one of the biggest wastes of society.
I'd let Jeremy Clarkson run me over.
You know, if it came to any person I would love to have run me over, it would be Jeremy Clarkson.
Oh, I can't stand Jeremy Clarkson.
Neither can I.
The one thing I do is he is a genius.
But like my mate was saying, it does work with having him on the show. Whereas the other two presenters ain't as much, and without him, it sort of balances it out.
The funny thing is, when he left Top Gear when it first run, it started to go downhill because he was kept Top Gear going.
It was, and I think his choice to turn it, because in the 70s, because he's basically been there all the way through. In the 70s, it was just a serious car show.
Did Noel Edmonds do it?
Yeah, at one point.
One point, did he? Fair enough. I didn't know that. But at one point in the 70s, early 80s, alongside, it was a serious car review show. What he did then is when he turned it into the Top Gear we see nowadays, where they've got the celebrities on there, they're doing the tracks, and they're doing all sorts of it is entertaining.
Yeah, it is that. I mean, I'm not into Top Gear, really, but it is entertaining. And like I say, with him how he is, he does sort of make it, even though I don't like him.
But the funny thing is, they get even got even Tom Cruise and Cameron Diaz on it.
Exactly, yeah.
Celebrities on it.
But for what he's done to Top Gear, because I think they gave him creative control, right? But for what he's done for Top Gear, he has turned it into a very, very entertaining show. And it's something you could watch, even not being a car lover.
Well, it's like on that Forza 4 on the 360, that's got him on it, and it says at the start, opinions of Top Gear do not necessarily reflect the opinions of Microsoft, basically meaning that if he comes out with something stupid, they're not going to take responsibility for it, because he does say his honest opinion on the cars.
Yeah, it's very, very true.
And I think everyone... he's on Gran Turismo as well now. I think they got him afterwards, like in the Top Gear track.
But for me, well, yeah, there was a bit where he did get in trouble with that comment over running over and prostitutes. Yeah, what he's got away with is just criminal. It is. Okay, right. Everyone knows who William Hague is, don't they?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you think his wife got a rough deal? Oh yeah, being married to him is definitely
His wife's a lot better looking than what Tony Blair's missus is.
Yeah.
That horrible thing.
Well, who was it? On Mop the Week? Who came out? I think it was Andy Parsons. He actually came out with a comment of saying when George Brown, he goes, "You'll hate me more, but you'll hate my wife less." So he's getting there. And dear Spinster's last question. Is David Cameron really interested in the British public, or is he the Nazi cousin of the Queen?
Yeah, it seems that way, don't it?
It does seem that way. So, it does seem on that point. So, Nazi cousin of the Queen. Only Spinny could put it that way. Put it at that aspect.
The funny thing is, the Queen comes from a German background anyway.
Exactly.
And yeah, exactly.
To Windsor because of World War II, because of the Nazis and obviously Hitler and that.
Okay, right.
Move off that subject.
Yep. Yeah. Right, moving on to the last section. Right. I'm gonna do this as kind of a quick fire, and we do apologise, we've lost Andrew. Seems to be some troubles with Skype. So if he comes back before the end of the podcast, we'll get him to say goodbye. If not, I'm pretty sure he will wish you all well. So this is generic quickfire. Okay, the main project of this, this was substituted through numerous people. What are your favourite games from each of the following areas, and what systems do you prefer to play them on? Okay, so whatever one that you come on, just bring it straight out and then put them in. Right, so action games. So I'm imagining by action it's probably going to be we've got shoot 'em up as a separate. So action game. Doom is always a good one to me, but I will always play it on the PC, as I think the console versions just don't cut it. Any of you guys action game?
Wolfenstein.
No, Metal Gear Solid.
Metal Gear, fair enough.
Sort of an action game, ain't it? It's more stealth, but
yeah. So PlayStation version, I'll take it, Malk.
Any of the sequels on anything, really, because they're just as good, aren't they, on the 360 or the PS2 and 3.
Yep, very true. Okay, adventure game. Well, that's gonna feed back LucasArts games. I'll give that as a whole. And definitely on the PC, cannot beat point and click. On that one,
I can't answer that one, because the only one I've played is Back to the Future, and that was adventure really, because unless you get it right, you can't go any further. So
well, yeah, that counts. Wrong with it. Well, that counts. That counts as an adventure. Will.
Super Mario World.
No, you can't get away with that one.
Come on, it is an adventure game. You are exploring.
No, you Uncharted. Can't get away with that one.
on a PS3.
Okay. Oh, God. Uncharted. Yeah, I'll give her that one. So.
Because that is like...
All right, then. Tomb Raider.
Tomb Raider. Will, seriously, you're not a Tomb Raider fan.
I have played the Tomb Raider games.
Okay, I would have said Soul Reaver over that one, but hey. Platform game. I'm going to have to go with Symphony of the Night.
Platform game?
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Super Mario World.
Yep.
I'm going to go with, I don't know, actually. I'd say probably Super Mario.
Yeah, Super Mario. Okay, right, shoot 'em up. Parodius for me.
Nemesis or Salamander.
Yep. Will?
Contra.
Yeah, that counts. run and gun style shoot 'em up game. Right, puzzle game. Ooh, there's one.
Dr. Mario.
Dr. Mario?
I am Dr. Mario, and I am saving lives.
Let's say Tetris, definitely. That's the first one, and probably the most popular out of anything. And other ones have ripped it off afterwards, pretty much.
Yeah, sure. My favourite puzzle... There's one on MAME that got homed as well called Puzzing.
There's one on MAME, Zero Zone, where you get like pictures of naked women in the background. That one's pretty good.
Yeah, Puzzing has...
Only because of that, though.
Yeah, Puzzing has the same thing.
Bubble bath babes.
I'll have to have a look at that, then. I've never heard of that.
Yeah, but I mean, it's got the same thing. It's got them on the Batman. But of course, when the home versions came out and the 8-bit versions, that was all removed because it's typically Japanese-y.
Ah, right. There's that Gal's Panic as well. That's sort of a paintball roller thing, and you get like naked Japanese women. And if you do it so much, they take off bits of their clothes. And then if you get the thing and you hit the spider, and it goes reverse or something, it changes them into witches and dogs.
Oh,
and
cows. I'll go for anything with naked Japanese women. Right, right. Text based adventure. That's going to be a bit out of your way because you wouldn't have played it. Hobbit.
But I spent most of the time typing in swear words to see what it does in those sort of games because I was only a little kid when I had them.
For me, Gremlins. The Gremlins text-based adventure was pretty damn good as well for that one. Right. Melk's not going to answer this one.
No, yeah, that's me. I have played text adventure games.
Oh, go on then. Go on. Hit me.
Leisure Suit Larry.
Leisure Suit Larry, yeah.
Yeah, okay. I'll give you
that's
that one.
That's good, yeah. And it asks you a ridiculous question to see if you're over... 21 to play it, and even my dad didn't know the answer of it. Luckily, because it was a cracked one, you could type in any crap. That was on the Atari ST. Yeah, Leisure Suit Larry's good.
Okay.
And the Land of the Lounge Lizards, I think, the one we play.
Leisure Suit Larry, the land of the Lounge Lizards.
Okay, right. Melk's probably not going to be able to answer this one. Let's get to it. Right. First of all, Americanized RPG, because JRPG is the second one. JRPG for me is going to be Final Fantasy VII, no doubt.
Final Fantasy
IX
for me.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just like white noise as far as I'm concerned. I don't play
it. Yeah. All Malk can hear is... Americanized RPG.
If I was going to say Americanized RPG, I would say Fallout.
I've really not sat down and played Fallout 3 on that one. If it comes to me, I could go back a little bit and probably say Lands of Lore. That was an Americanized one.
I could say Neverwinter Nights, can't I?
Yeah, but Neverwinter Nights was good.
Yeah.
And I think
Potty Boy's back.
Is he?
Yes, he's just come back online.
Right, let's get back in this conversation.
It's the guy from Classic Game Room. He's appeared on RetroWare TV. Yay!
Yeah, sorry about that, guys. My internet cocked up for some reason.
Okay, no problems. Right, we'll just wait for Mount to get back and we'll finish off.
Yeah.
Well, actually, we can get some more content in. And hey, everybody!
Yay.
Andrew's back. Yay. So. Okay, right. Yeah. For the last few questions, we'd be doing a bit of a quick-fire thing. So while Malk is using the system...
Yeah. pointing personally at the person.
Right. I want you to answer these straight to your head, first thing that comes to mind. Right, what are your favourite games for the following things, and what you prefer to play them on? Okay, your favourite action game.
Oh, favourite action game? Tough one. Probably something like Sonic the Hedgehog.
Okay, right, fair enough. Right, favourite adventure game?
Adventure game, for me, it's probably got to be... I'm probably going to have to go for the Short Monkey Island 2.
Exactly, right. Now I've stumped you again. Platform game.
and I'll make it Sonic the Hedgehog again. Go on.
Yeah, all right, your favourite puzzle game?
Oh, a puzzle game. Ooh, Lemmings. Yes.
Cool. I've forgot about that one. Very good. Okay. I never thought that one actually. Right. Text-based adventure.
That's a tricky one. I've always loved Gremlins on the Spectrum.
Yes, yeah. I said same thing on that one. Okay. Favorite. Right. We've got RPGs. You've got one for RPG. One for JRPG.
All right.
So,
tough one. I'm probably gonna have to say probably something like Dragon Age.
Fair enough. Yeah, good.
And JRPG, Final Fantasy VII.
Yes.
Really, actually, put any real time into. I'm still first disc.
Well, fair enough. We'll carry on. We'll carry on for now. This one, while Malk is worshipping the porcelain shrine. one-on-one beat 'em up. Hold on for a sec. Are we all going to turn around and say Street Fighter?
I probably would do, yes.
Will?
Mortal Kombat. No, Tekken.
Tekken.
Oh, actually, yeah, that's the point. Tekken 3. And because it's got Gon in it.
Okay. Okay, so it's, I know Malt's going to say Street Fighter on this one. So I definitely know Malt's going to say Street Fighter this one. Yeah. Right, so, here you go. See, this may be a side-scrolling beat-em-up game.
Streets of Rage 2, mate.
Streets of Rage 2 as well. Will?
What was the question?
Side-scrolling beat-em-up game.
Final Fight.
Final Fight. That's fair enough. Malt's well, back.
That's a load off my mind.
Ah, dude.
what are we on about?
Okay, right, the O2 we've moved on to is 1-on-1 beat 'em up, but we know your answer for that one.
Street Fighter,
yeah. Side scrolling beat 'em up.
Side scrolling beat 'em up. Double Dragon.
That's good. We've got a mix in on that one, so we had two Streets of Rages and we had one Final Fight and one Double Dragon.
Hey.
Right. Anyone know a side scrolling beat 'em up that really sucked?
Yeah, but only when they started going 3D. And the worst one I'd say is The Crow, City of Angels.
Yeah, that's true. What was that? Did anyone play Batman Forever?
Yeah, that was
that
as well.
Oh, that was horrendous.
It is.
That was absolutely horrendous. Where's a claim? And they got their punishment for it. They're now bankrupt. Okay, what's your favourite party game?
Track and Field or Track Combat Field? School. Mm-hmm. Or hypersports, because they're basically the same sort of thing, aren't they?
Or anything. Joystick.
Anything.
The hell out of the buttons, right?
Yeah, anything that constitutes you breaking your hardware, literally.
Yeah. If you got, like, it's really hard to break the proper arcade buttons, because these have took loads of abuse. I've had this cabinet for about 5 years. Well, from off the other cabinet, the same buttons, and they still work fine.
Mm.
So they take a hell of a lot of abuse, whereas I think if there was, you know, like your more old-fashioned computer sort of joystick, that would have probably gone ages ago.
Yeah, that's very, very true.
And PC joysticks just don't last at all. I've broke no end of them.
Okay. Will, favourite party game?
Super Smash Brothers.
Yeah, I'd say because it sometimes does it constitute as a one-on-one, so on that one. Me, Mario Party 8, that's good fun to play on the Wii. I managed to find it laying on my hard drive the other day on an old external hard drive. I found my favourite quiz game on there, You Don't Know Jack. It is a fantastic game. It's very simple. It can be redone nowadays in Flash.
Yeah. I'll tell you what you like, Tony. I don't know whether it'll count as a party game. Point Blank.
Sort of like shooting
and that, ain't it?
Yeah, it's a shooter, but it's a varied shooter.
Yeah.
There's no kind of final point to it. So, yeah, that I could classify. But what set You Don't Know Jack about, apart from all the rest, was just the sheer amount of swearing and abuse it gives you when you whenever you mess the questions up. Be it nice and normal sort of thing. It's like where, especially you've got three people playing, and they're like, yes, players 1, 2, and 3, I've been in contact with your parent, and they claim they do not know you. and sit there, and trust me, it sits there, that it calls you all sorts of... it's really, really good fun play, and it was just off the wall, because it was outside. Like, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire came out, and that was like,
see, I had a good idea with that. I was on about to Andy. If they had guest presenters instead of having Chris Tarrant, like, I think Chris Eubank would be brilliant as a presenter for Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
Yes, and now for £100.
You're confident?
£100.
Yeah, he'd be brilliant, wouldn't he?
Yeah, could you repeat the question? I don't want to look at the screen.
The question is on the screen. It is, one, what is the greatest thing ever?
Yeah.
That's a joke.
What is the greatest thing ever? Why has Chris Eubanks come up 4 times? don't worry, this is your opening question. You cannot get it wrong. Oh, dearie me. Okay.
He had his own programme and that reality TV thing, and I think they should have Chris on more things because he is, like, entertaining.
Oh, dear. I reckon they should give it to Matthew Smith.
Yeah.
Right. Favourite RTS game? No doubt about mine. StarCraft.
I haven't said my favourite party game yet.
Oh, yes, you did.
Did I?
Yeah. I can't remember what it was, but I believe you did.
I don't think I said anything.
Okay, go on then.
For me, Bishi Bashi Special on
PlayStation. I thought you were going to say that as well, because you played that at the arcade, didn't you?
Yes, that slipped my mind. That really did slip my mind. That one, yes, definitely.
I've never played it, but I know it was on the PlayStation Network, and I nearly downloaded it, but I don't know why I didn't in the end. But you played it in London, didn't you, Trocadero?
Yeah, there's working copies in MAME now. I think they've got a few of them working, so they're at a playable level now. Mm, so have a look, they're definitely on MAME.
That arcade shut down, isn't it, the Trocadero?
Yeah, they closed it down.
Yeah,
we'll save that for another conversation on it. Okay, right, real-time strategy games. Hands down, my one, StarCraft, definitely on that one. Followed up quite thing by the Command & Conquer series, except for 4. EA can go burn in hell for that. for that one. Any other real-time strategy fans, or am I really the only one here?
My favourite one is Command & Conquer.
Yep, there you go.
So, I don't play him as much, but I do play Command & Conquer.
I don't play them because I'm not intelligent enough. So
You don't need to be intelligent to play Command & Conquer, Malcolm.
Nah, they're not my sort of games where you have to think about it. I'd just rather have games where you just, just simple.
Okay,
things.
And here we go. First person shooter. Don't you dare say it.
Quake 2.
Yeah, don't anybody ever dare say it for a laugh. you know what I'm talking about.
No, actually before that, I'd say the best one ever, GoldenEye.
GoldenEye is very, very good. It has all it has to me is just the one flaw of not being able to drop off something. You could easily say, why can I not drop down? that's the only thing. But then again, you kind of didn't need it, so
I would say GoldenEye as well.
Yeah, and I've just brought my one. I'm gonna have to go now, actually, but my favorite first person shooter ever, Half-Life,
I will say Half-Life as well.
Yeah. I've got to go now. So,
well, actually, can you spare us a couple of minutes because we're wrapping up now.
All right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Okay then, people. Right. So this is the goodbye, peeps. At least for a little while.
Yeah.
Thank you all for listening. And I do hope once we have our new show up and running, you will all join us and tune back in again. So you can hear the craziness of what we get up to yet again. That one. Right, anybody, any thank yous from anybody?
Thanks to everyone at the Retro Asylum, Andy, Swaney, Glenn.
Yep.
Everyone who comments on there, and everyone who comments on YouTube as well. Mm-hmm. Scopey, all of you guys as well, even though you're doing the podcast now.
Oh yeah, definitely. Will, anyone you want to chuck out?
Everybody on the Retro Asylum and YouTube as well.
YouTube, exactly, definitely. Andrew? Everybody, Andrew has lost his memory.
And Steve Bamwell.
Please insert this too.
Yeah, insert Amiga OS. Where
please
we go?
Insert Jailbreaker.
Oh, we've lost him again. Ah. I'm pretty sure he would have his going for this one.
Yeah.
But I'd like to thank everybody who's also the people who listen to us worldwide on Podomatic as well. Like I say, when we come back, we will be making a new the new show. I will upload a new info message onto the old Retro Resistance channel saying where we've been moving to. I also like to put a big thank you to our two American subscribers on Podomatic, to On The Rocks, and also to the Continue cast. I do believe they're subscribed to us, but if not, then I do recommend listening to those. Great, some great American old school, new school style podcast in there. Okay, so on behalf of Andrew and behalf of everyone else, big thank you to everybody who supported us, and hopefully we'll see you all again in February.
Yep.
All right, so goodbye.
Bye.
Bye from me as well.